On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast sponsored by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Insurance Journal, Carrier Management, and other fine publications. Normally, we're trying to peek into the future with our guests, but today we're going to celebrate the past a little bit. I'm pleased and proud to have as my guest today the insurance icon who's been at the helm of Insurance Journal and Wells Media for the last 50 years. That's right. This year, our guest is popping some champagne and maybe some fine Pinot Noir, as we'll discuss later, to celebrate a half century of quality insurance industry publishing. Welcome to the show, Mark Wells.
Well, thank you, Peter. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, well, there's so much to talk about. Maybe we should start at the beginning, to coin a phrase. How did this all happen? Because I've known you for so long, I think going back to 88 when I was out there in California for the Prop 103 campaign on the good guys side. we ran into each other at events. So that was, that was quite a while ago. But how did you get started? How did insurance? Tell us a little bit about the history, because it's pretty cool.
Well, it's a long story. The Insurance Journal actually started in 1922 as a life insurance monthly. And in 1936, my father lost his job. He got fired from the Underwriters Report, which was a weekly national property casualty magazine in those days. And so he needed a job. So he bought the Insurance Journal for $1,000 and assumed all of its debts in the middle of the Depression, converted it to a property casualty magazine, and published it ever since.
Geez, I did not know that. Yeah. Really cool. So Underwriters Report was based in San Francisco, correct?
Correct. And was a national until after the Depression. Then it became a West Coast regional.
Okay, got it. Yeah, actually, there was another West Coast regional, I think, based in Seattle or Portland, if I remember. Back in the
well,
day.
There were seven. There were seven on the West Coast, all regionals. Insurance Journal, Underwriters Report, Western Underwriter in San Francisco. I think some kind of insurance news publication in Portland, two publications, one Insurance Week in Seattle. They've all disappeared.
They've all disappeared except for Insurance Journal, right? I mean, I know you guys are national too, but they're all. So
all gone.
It's interesting, isn't it? How and if you think about not just the West Coast, but even in the 80s, there were when I first got into the biz, there were a ton more publications. There were a number of state-based publications like the Florida Underwriter for National Underwriter and so on. Why do you think that is, Mark? It was like a local thing?
I think it was much more isolated in those days, and it was still regulated by the several states. But along with the Internet, allowed us all to be worldwide, if you will. So, even my father passed away in 1970, and my mother and I took over the business. We were, it was not in good shape. We were kind of broke. It took a long time to get back up, so to speak.
Yeah. It must be kind of nice. If I could have interviewed your dad to see the success over the years, because, to get fired from one insurance publication and buying and starting and recasting another that's still around today, that's quite a legacy, Mark, honestly. It's such a competitive environment that you're in.
Yeah, very true. It's very, very competitive. But we started out as a California regional publication and then, West Coast and in the 90s, we started, the late 90s, really, we started playing around with the Internet. And we put the magazine on the Internet, and then we learned quickly that that was not going to work. So we decided to publish the news daily. and email it out, and it just took off from there. And we just we were a West Coast regional, and there were people in New York that didn't know we had a print magazine.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I remember you guys were one of the first to have you had an iPad version. You had the website. You had email, like the email, the daily email newsletter you're talking about. It was like you guys were
right
always first in different areas, and you're always willing to experiment. I think that's one of the hallmarks of successful companies is you experiment. Things don't always work out. I'm sure you probably could tell some stories about things that didn't work out, but here you are.
Yeah.
It's funny. Email started, I remember, early 90s. It was kind of a commercially available thing. And then it's sort of been, it's been around for 30 years as like a, an important platform. How many people are on the receiving end of your daily newsletter now, Mark?
Right now, 84,000 that have opted in, to receive the news. And I think it's interesting. Our website is the most heavily trafficked in the insurance industry space globally. And we get anywhere from 500 to 600,000 unique visitors a month.
That's pretty cool.
It's really taken off. Yeah.
So let's walk back to 1970 again. When you first took over, you said it was a tough time for you and your mom, and you made it work. But what were the kind of stories you were covering then, if you can remember? What was the environment, the insurance industry like in California back then?
Well, the market, the California market was vibrant. Workers' compensation was very profitable, and there were several regional carriers, in the state. It was the beginning, the 60s were the beginning of the excess and surplus industry. There were the formation of Swett and Crawford and a company called Sayre and Tosa, which has long disappeared. But it's interesting that the wholesale brokers really started in California and with Swett and Crawford. But it was a very dramatic and a vibrant marketplace. It sure is not today. It's just today it's a mess. And a lot of it is Proposition 103, I should say. It's for people that don't know what our California propositions are about. But that's when the insurance commissioner's position became an elected position. And so a lot of politicians use it as a stepping stone for other offices. And most of the decisions are based on politics, not on what the customers need, which is a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. I do recall. So in the 70s and maybe even into the 80s and 90s, I'm not sure. You were in Pasadena, California, right? LA area?
Well, we started down on Mid-Wilshire in those days. Everybody was on Mid-Wilshire Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to people started moving off of Wilshire, that moved to Orange County and moved to the San Fernando Valley. We moved to Pasadena, and we were there until 1993. And then we moved to San Diego, California. So,
okay.
It's been an interesting trip, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm quite sure it has been. There were also back, if I'm not mistaken, Mark, back in the day, whatever the day is, there were more insurance companies located, and maybe more insurance companies, period. But I know there were more domiciled, like in San Francisco and L.A. What happened to these companies? It's not just acquisition, was it?
Yeah, basically it was. There were companies, local regional carriers like Pacific Indemnity and Pacific Employers Group were acquired. At that time, INA bought Pacific Indemnity Pacific Employers, I guess. They bought Pacific Employers, and then Chubb bought Pacific Indemnity. But that's the story of California. There were tons of local very successful regional carriers that were acquired by national carriers. And the same thing on the brokerage side. Marsh was built by acquisition. So, you know, it's interesting. We have had mergers and acquisitions, you know, for the last 50 years and going on again, you know, right now.
Yeah, it is true. One of the segments that really seems to have taken off organically and acquisition is this whole, I don't know how you describe it, but I guess program administrator, wholesaler, MGA, that world has just exploded. And in certain places where it's been tough, like California, is a tough market for a lot of standard carriers. You see the really successful independent agencies, sometimes retailers launch wholesale divisions, or insurance company executives leave to form these divisions. And I think looking at Insurance Journal, just an example, there's a lot of coverage, there's a lot of advertising in that segment.
Absolutely, it's a vibrant industry. The wholesale brokerage business, the excess and surplus lines business, has just grown dramatically, and grown dramatically in just in the last 5 years. Even it's something to watch. It's amazing they've been able to answer a need and write a ton of business. And Lloyd's of London is, you know, the U.S. is Lloyd's biggest customer. I think that we account for almost 36% of the Lloyd's business, and you know, globally. So it's huge.
Yeah, Mark. You know, for most of us, I mean, I'm on the other coast. I'm here in Fairfax, Virginia, Northern Virginia, D.C. area, essentially. You know, people look at California and say, "It's just crazy out there. How do people do it? How do you run a business in California? How do you survive the taxes, the weather, the earthquakes, I don't know how do you do it, Mark? I honestly don't know.
It's become crazy. When I started, it was very, very dramatic. It was an opportunity state where you could start a business. Now today, it's just tremendous overregulation, taxes. It's an unfriendly business environment. So it shows up in the insurance industry. A lot of carriers won't write construction accounts in California because of the liberal courts out here. So and there are problems everywhere. So
are you worried? Are you worried for the future, Mark? For the industry?
No, not at all. I think the industry is very good at adapting and innovating, and that's really key. You be able to come up with changes that can answer problems. And I think, you know, COVID-19 is a problem, there will be a solution. So it may not be what everybody wants, but there will be a solution.
Well,
I think change is constant in our business. I think change is constant in the insurance industry. There's a tremendous amount of innovation. InsurTech is amazing, taken off in the last several years. So it's going to be fun to watch and see what happens.
Yeah. So talking specifically about insurance publishing, What are some of the challenges that you had to overcome, Mark, to 50 years? I mean, that's a great run. Again, I mentioned it is a competitive environment. There's other publications. And whether or not they're direct competitors or not, they're still out there. What are some of the things that you deal with on a daily, weekly basis?
Well, you know, our business has changed 180 degrees. You know, when I started, we were a print publishing company. And I'm an old-fashioned print person. So, and then the internet has changed everything. It changed it for not only for our business, but business in general. But now everything is digital. Even in as late as 2008, 90% of our revenue was in print. Today, it's a little under 50%. So, and most of it most of our advertising is now digital. So it's really evolved, and it's hard to keep up. And you know, we've got a great group of people really running the business right now. They're young, they're innovative, they're totally at home on the internet and in the digital space, much more so than I am, certainly.
Yeah, It's interesting. Every service, because I do follow a number of insurance, you know, rating organizations, insurance publishers, trade associations, et cetera. Every study I've seen, even of younger readers, the millennial independent agents out there, for example, they don't want to choose print over digital or digital over print or texting over calls. Like they want all the options. They still like print. And yeah. I think I've heard you say over the years, recent years, the demise of a printed publication has been predicted before, you know, but it hasn't happened.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, and the demise of the independent agency system has been predicted since the 60s. You know, back in the 60s, the carriers were telling the agents if they didn't get an NASD license to sell mutual funds, they'd be out of business. Well, that, of course, never came around, never came true. But it's been interesting to watch the independent agents have not only maintained, they've grown in size and importance and dominance of the property casualty insurance marketplace.
Yeah. So here's a fun question. In your 50 years, how many insurance meetings do you think you've been to?
Oh, God. It's one of them.
We can do the math. If it's 20 a year, that's 1,000.
Well, but, I used to go to 26, a combination of carrier meetings, wholesale brokerage meetings, retail agency meetings. We just love to meet. You know, it's amazing. There's an event every week to go to. Even today, you know, and now it's all virtual because of COVID-19, but it'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. It I never thought I would say this, but I kind of miss business travel. I miss insurance meetings. I miss my insurance peeps, seeing them in person. You know, Zoom calls only go so far.
Right.
But but help me out with the math. If you went to 26 a year, of course, this is probably back in the day when you had you had a smaller staff, you know, and so on. Now you have a,
yeah.
By the way, you have a great team, Mark. A shout out to them. Just super people. I've known them for years too. But
yeah, man, they've done a terrific job. Yeah.
Agree. But if you went to 20 a year for 50 years, that's 1,000 meetings.
Yeah.
That's 1,000.
I guess so. Yeah.
And then
to
the point where you what?
I mean, to the point where I can't eat chicken anymore. You know, you go to these things and they have a chicken dinner or a chicken lunch or something. And
so if it's a conservative 1,000 meetings in 20 years, you figure,
right.
You know, the average meeting has 3 cocktail parties. So 3,000 cocktail parties, you know, it's staggering. But think about all those people that you've met in those years, some really, really interesting people like Tony Markel. I mean, just fantastic people. Jerry Sullivan.
Absolutely.
It's priceless.
Yeah. I mean, you think about people like Hank Greenberg of AIG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, interesting guy. You know, he's came ashore at on D-Day in Normandy. Left the service after the war, and he's still active in his 90s. It's a great, a great story there.
Yes,
there are a ton of people.
Yeah, and speaking of that, this is not necessarily related, but are there people over the years, Mark, you look back, you know, maybe it's your family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's insurance folks who you consider to be mentors, especially as you were trying to figure out what was going to happen with Insurance Journal?
Oh, I think so. Everybody has always been really, really helpful to me and to the Insurance Journal. And it's interesting how generous people are of their time and their knowledge and their experience, and more than happy to share it with people, myself included. So it's been wonderful.
Yeah. And over the years, too, you've done quite a bit of international travel. I think that might have something to do with your love of French wine, in particular the Burgundy wines, right?
Yes. I go I go to Burgundy every January. It's awfully cold, but it's a good time to go. So I kind of fell into the Burgundy situation. I had friends who were members of a Burgundy wine group in Los Angeles and invited me to join. And since then, I learned a lot about it. And I love California Pinot Noir, too. It's just it's wonderful.
Yeah, and Oregon Pinot Noir, too.
Absolutely, yeah. There's some great wines in Oregon.
So for some people that might not know, what are the top, I think Pinot is one of them, but just to be sure, what are some of the top Burgundy wines you might see in a wine shop? You know, the names of them. Not the brands, but the style, like Pinot or...
Yeah, I think on the West Coast, Napa Valley is historically been the center of wine production in California, and Napa's famous for their Cabernets and their Chardonnays. So the Russian River Valley is now famous for its Pinots. So it's a very dramatic marketplace.
Yeah. One of those things that I could talk about forever because it's such a cool thing. The growth of the California wine industry is really something. And I know a lot of agents have specialized in wineries and winemaking operations that made a lot of money selling coverage. And now I guess the latest thing is probably cannabis, right? Relatively speaking.
Yeah, it's become a huge thing, you know, and we've done a couple of virtual seminars on it with probably 2,000 people attending. Online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of interest in it. There's a lot of stuff going on. As the various states, you know, legalize cannabis, it really opens up a brand new market for independent agents and carriers.
Yeah. So, Mark, last question. What do you, just to look to the future a bit, what do you think about the insurance industry, how it's going to manage through COVID, and when do you think things will start to get back? Or what are you hearing, I should say? Not that you're a scientist like Dr. Fauci or anything, but like what are you hearing about next year, 2021?
I think nothing is going to really get back to normal until there's a vaccine and 80% of the world's population is vaccinated. We got to get this under control, you know, and it's going to take time. I don't think, you know, it's going to continue through 2021, you know, and go on from there. But the industry will respond, you know. It's they'll innovate. There's a lot of stuff going on right now to try to address this problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing the insurance companies, well, not just in companies, but all different kinds of organizations in the industry. And one thing they're doing is saving money on travel and entertainment, you know? So.
Absolutely.
I mean, just all the insurance meetings, they're virtual. So in the good news department, I think they still have to communicate. They still have to express themselves. And maybe this is a good trend for insurance publishing.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, it's really hurting my frequent flyer miles, but other than that, you look at some of the meetings, like the WSIA, the Wholesale Brokers Association, 2019, they had over 5,000 people, I think, at their meeting, you know, face-to-face. This year, they're innovating and doing it virtually, and it's an interesting situation to watch. Let's hope they can pull it off.
Yeah, I think everybody's had to figure out what they're going to do there. And those virtual trade shows and virtual conferences have actually, the technology has improved so that you can visit, quote unquote, visit people in a trade show by moving your avatar closer to them and people you want to meet and that sort of thing. It doesn't replace. Right. I mean, let's all face it, but we've got to do something, right?
Right, and there's really no substitute for face-to-face meetings. And they'll be back. It just takes, it'll take a while.
Okay. Well, Mark, congratulations on the 50 years. It's really cool. You got a great team. You got a lot to be proud of, your team, your family, and the brand of Insurance Journal, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks very much, Peter. It was delightful to talk with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.